Do you want to make your dreams a reality? Look, everyone talks about manifestation, but what does that actually mean, and how can you use it to help you achieve your biggest goals? On today's episode, we're going to break it down into three simple steps. You don't want to miss this one. Grab your coffee, and as Mike would say,
let's go.
Welcome back, everybody.
Welcome back.
It's another episode of Candidly with Coffee.
Yes, it is, except you don't have no coffee.
No, I have Candidly with a little baby Diet Coke.
Look, I got coffee, though.
Look how cute it is.
I got coffee, though, from the new coffee maker we got in the studio. Pete's Coffee, baby. Let's go.
Are you happy with your coffee? Was it good? Is it good?
Yeah, it's good. I'm committing blasphemy. I'm sipping it through a straw, though.
Why?
I don't know.
That's blasphemy?
To hardcore coffee drinkers, probably, yeah. You're supposed to drink coffee to the...
Oh, I don't know.
To the cup, but whatever.
All right, I'm going to do a little ASMR Diet Coke moment. Oh.
There it is. That's sizzling.
That's good. I'm going to take a sip now. Go ahead and say hello to the people while I take a sip.
Take your sip. Enjoy. We're back, people. Hope everybody's doing good. By the time you hear this, it's going to be Friday. Everybody's happiest time of the week.
It's actually episode 495.
495. Wow. We're creeping.
Yeah. I think I want to do like a giveaway for 500. So we're going to think of something for the 500th episode. We're going to do some sort of giveaway.
Yeah. That sounds like a good plan, man. Show our gratitude for everybody following our channel and showing support.
Yep. All the way back to 2020. We did three episodes a week back then. That's why we climbed up so fast.
Yeah, that's true.
Three and sometimes four. We did a lot of episodes because we had nothing better to do.
We're just cranking them out, putting in that work. Now we're so busy with this, Patreon, after show. We're always doing something.
But it was easy because I used to literally, we would just set up the camera, sit down, flick on the mics, and just start talking. There was no rundowns. There was no nothing. I did no kind of graphics or editing after, really. I just threw it up, and it was just raw.
I'm going to have to go back and watch some of that raw stuff because, you know what? It's cool to go back and reflect on, like, the beginning of times. I know I talked to you about this before. Like, Joe Rogan says he had no idea what he was going to do with that podcast. He says, all I wanted to do, set up a computer, talk some shit, and smoke some weed with my friends and have fun.
Yeah, and that's what he still does, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's obviously more formal, but he has fun with it. You can tell he thoroughly enjoys it, just like we do. We thoroughly enjoy it.
Oh, yeah, especially when he has certain guests on that are his friends, and it's not, he's not trying to find out any information. Mm-hmm. Like, he had Kid Rock on recently. Mm-hmm. He had a lot of fun, talked a lot of shit. Mm-hmm. Some of the episodes are more serious. We'll have scientists on and whatnot. Then he'll get deep with questions. But other than that, you can tell he has fun. It's a good time. He gets paid buku money for doing it. It's a win situation for him.
That's the dream, and that's what today's episode is about, is manifesting the dream. We're going to talk about manifestations and manifestations that have actually come true for me and how I think that happened, and then how we work on it together, you guys, so that we can all, from this episode on, work on current new manifestations with this strategy, and then we can all come back together and talk about, you know, how successful we were in those manifestations like a year from now. All of you guys can share with us. I know many of you have actually pointed out to me in previous episodes that we did manifest things that are happening now, which is cool. But we'll get into that in a little bit. Before we get too far, we're going live tonight, 5 p.m. Pacific time. We love the YouTube Live. We have so much fun with you guys. We basically share our date night with you, and then we go out to dinner.
That's true. We have a good time. Don't be shy. Ask questions. Anything you can think of, shoot away. We'll answer it. We like having fun with you guys. We like interacting. You're part of the family. We're like one big old community. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I feel like everyone's even getting to know each other, especially in our Patreon. So in our Patreon, you guys are really getting to know each other there too. If you haven't heard, we have a Patreon. Subscribe there. It's $7 a month. You get a weekly unfiltered, uncensored episode. And then you also get after shows. So we continue on after the Candidly with Coffee cameras go off. We do a Candidly with Coffee after show on Patreon after every show, and that's fun. Thank you for everybody who has already joined us over there on Patreon, because we're having a lot of fun with it, and we hope to continue to grow that community as well.
Yeah, we're allowed to tell you guys stories that we can't say on here. Pretty much no filter on there, which is fun.
Yeah.
We got some crazy stories, too.
Yeah, so today's episode that dropped, it was a pretty interesting conversation. You guys will have to take a listen to it, but it was a pretty interesting conversation on what constitutes cheating. And on other news, if you have not already subscribed to us, make sure you subscribe to our channel. Review us on Apple Podcasts. Speaking of which, we did get a review. Lady Meadows 3 says, really enjoy listening to Candidly with Coffee. It's informative and fun. I love the way Mike and Janine interact with each other. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
Thank you very much. We always appreciate the feedback and comments. Never take nothing for granted. We love it.
So how are you doing? You're not feeling very good.
No, I was going to say that to you guys. If I sound a little funny, my voice is, I'm battling a little cold right now. But check this out. If any of you guys know me, I told you this earlier. I said, I'm still going to show up. I had a damn stroke and I showed up days after to do the podcast because the show must go on. I feel like I just got to suck it up and just do it. But I could tell like my throat's a little dry, but I'm okay.
You don't feel body aches or anything like that?
Nope. I think, excuse me. And this is something that you just said recently in one of the posts is like, remember this, people, you got to build your army internally. So when something comes, you're ready for battle. And for me, for the most part, I have a strong immune system. We rarely get sick. We don't drink alcohol. We go to sleep early. We hydrate. We do everything, take the vitamins. So I think my body will shake this in like 2-3 days. I'll be over it. Where my old self, this probably would have took a week longer to get rid of.
Do you feel like the worst is over?
Yeah, because this morning I felt a little run down, like, damn, this mm-hmm. really hit me. The day before, I told you, I woke up in the middle of the night and I was like swallowing. I was like, oh, no. You feel that pain.
Yeah, and that's not good.
It wasn't like 50-50. I knew it. Like, damn, something got me. I just said, all right, let's see where this takes me. Let me see how I feel the next day. And today, woke up last night. My nose was running. Mm-hmm. My allergies were acting up. So I just popped a Benadryl, went to sleep. Woke up again in the middle of the night. Popped another Benadryl because my nose was a little runny. My allergies were acting up. So I went back to sleep. Slept in late till 6:30 or so. And today, though, I felt good. I told you today I wasn't going to do nothing. I was just going to rest. No working out. No forcing. My old self wanted to go to the gym and try to sweat it out. That's not smart. You can't sweat out a cold. You got to just let it run its course. So now I feel okay, though. You tell me, what do I look like to you, like my face?
You look okay. Yeah, I don't think you have that, like, sick look that usually get the dark circles or whatever. Yeah. No. So you look fine.
Yeah, I don't have that
Yeah, sick I think look that if it, if today if there was going to be the worst day, it would probably be today.
Yeah.
It might linger at this stage for a while, but I think that it's probably just a cold.
I'm going to call it by Friday. I should be good.
Yeah, we'll see on tonight, you guys, tonight at 5, we'll see how he's feeling.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just going to rest. I'm not going to do nothing. I'm just going to do this podcast, and that's it. Probably not even work out tomorrow either. Take the day off.
Yeah.
Just rest up. Maybe just get my steps in, go slow on the treadmill.
Speaking of working out, I was so mad because I drove to Orange Theory this morning. I tried and I literally did not make it because there was so many accidents and problems because of the rain. It took me so long to get home and I didn't get my workout in. I was very upset. And normally for me, that's enough right there to just derail me, to just have a shitty day, to not be productive because I have to like recalibrate. And I used to really struggle with doing that.
Yeah.
It's like reset, refocus, start again kind of thing. So I just, okay, how can I turn this into a good day? What can I do? I'm going to just rearrange what I was going to do for the day. And I took my treadmill. I took my laptop to the treadmill and I was already behind. I had a rough day yesterday. I didn't get all my work done and my to-do lists were not looking very good. So I thought, you know what, I'm just going to get on the treadmill and I'm going to just tackle this to-do list and just get it done. And that's what I did, 3 hours on the treadmill.
But you know what, though? That says a lot about you. Think about what you just said. Most people be like, yay, fuck it. I got a reason to take this off. The universe is telling me to take it off. Instead, you get angry that you couldn't get your workout in because you know how good it makes you feel. That happened to me one time. I was going to my academy in Dublin, Combat Sports Academy, and I hit right around Fremont, thick traffic, and it showed the ways how long I was going to take them. I had to turn around. I wasn't going to make it.
Damn.
It was a morning cloud. I think it was a super bad accident or something. I was like, damn, I got to turn back around. It pissed me off.
Yeah. What did you do?
I just got off the freeway and turned back.
I know, but did you make up for it in the day? Did you go somewhere else or did you call it?
Yeah, well, I think that day I ended up going to City Sports and doing my usual, hit the bag and do some weights.
Yeah.
But still, you get thrown off from your routine. We're so routine focused, as you want to say.
That's almost like the detriment to being so routine focused. And that's what I have to work on, is learning to adapt when the routine gets flipped upside down. And I can give myself a pat on the back for that. I used to not be able to do that, and now I can. It's still hard. Like, today was still harder for me. Like, because it just makes you want to start fresh tomorrow kind of mentality. But I'm like, no, there's still plenty of time. Like, I can get it all done. Like, I even didn't want to do this podcast. I thought, we'll just record tomorrow.
That's true. You did say that.
Like, it's fine. I'll figure it out. And then I'm like, no, you know what? No, I'm going to get as much stuff as I can on my to-do list. I'm going to get these steps in on the treadmill. I walked over 5 miles and I'm still going to do the podcast. And then I'm going to be in a much better position than I was yesterday when I went to bed stressed, because I knew I had left some things on the table in terms of my to-do list.
Yeah. And you know what it is for you, missing your workout, why it's so important for you, because it's like working out sets the tone for the day. It's supercharging your body. You wake up, you do the things you have to do, like you're working in the morning, dealing with the dogs, you're just dealing with all the personal shit. And then the gym is your hour for yourself to supercharge yourself, to get that endorphins, dopamine, get all that rush.
It's because of the feeling. I crave the feeling afterwards. And so it's like, when you don't go, then you're not going to get that feeling. I'm used to functioning on that feeling after it's done. And then I come home and I'm super productive and I get a lot of stuff done. And to have to come home anticlimactic after sitting in traffic for an hour,
oh man,
with sedentary and without having that feeling and being flustered, it's hard to reset in that moment. So I have to say I'm proud of myself, because I'm sitting here right now. I had a very productive day. I got a lot of stuff done on my to-do list. Now I'm getting the podcast done. We're going to do the Patreon after show. It's a good day after all.
But I'm going to call you out on here in front of everybody. Don't get mad at me. But I keep telling this woman, listen to your husband. When in doubt, take the streets to your gym, because anything can happen. On the first heavy rains of California, people panic here, you guys. They cannot drive. And I already knew something was going to happen. I would have told you, take the streets. That's just me, but you don't listen, so you do it your way. And that's what happened to you today.
Are you okay?
You got derailed. I'm okay.
I know, but the streets take a very long time.
Leave extra early. Why would you want to risk taking the highway when it's more dangerous than not take the streets to your gym?
If I would have left extra early, I would have made it on time, even taking the freeway.
Was it not a heavy rain last night and today? Mm-hmm. Why were you risking yourself taking the freeway?
I don't know. That was just a dumb move on my part.
That's all I'm saying. Take the streets. It's safer. That's all I'm saying, you guys. If you can find a safer route to get your location, the moral of my story, take the safer route. If you have to leave 10 minutes early, then leave 10 minutes early. Don't risk it. It's not worth it, especially in heavy rains. It's dangerous.
All right. Moving on. Now that we're talking about challenges and difficulties and things like that, I do have a question for you guys. My question is this, and I want you to answer this question in the comments, because I want to grow upon this conversation in future episodes. What is the biggest challenge you face in reaching your goals, weight loss goals, career goals? What is it that derails you? What are small and big? It doesn't matter. However it pertains to you in your life, I want to know, because let's start to pick apart those things and figure out how we can get it to not derail you, so that you guys can really get value out of these episodes.
That's a good question. I think a lot of people they get in the way of themselves. That's what happens. You got to get out of your own way. You got to stop overthinking and you got to get after it. Stop using excuses as to why you're not getting where you need to be.
I guess we'll find out, because we're going to have them answer that question.
Yeah.
So I ask you the question then, because it's easy to preach. It's easy to get up on a soapbox and tell everybody else, get out of your own way, do this, do that, do this, as it pertains to what our specialty is, which is like fitness or whatever.
Yeah.
But how about you? What is your biggest challenge you face in reaching your goals? And what goal are you talking about?
For me, one thing that I struggle with is procrastination. I come up with good ideas, but sometimes I fail to execute, procrastinate.
Yeah.
And I get stuck in my own way. That's what I just said. I do it too.
Yeah. See, it's easy to preach it, but then you could be, you're preaching to yourself a lot of times, like you say, pointing and then the three fingers pointing back at you.
Mm-hmm. True that.
So how do you think you can get past that?
Just stop, not overthink things. Just go for it. Like I have been. I've been getting better at it. Just staying consistent on posting on Instagram, trying to grow my YouTube channel. Just not worried about what people are going to think when I talk about things on social media. Sometimes you overthink things like, what's somebody going to think? Is this post going to do good? Nah, just post it. People want to hear your story. They want to hear what you got to talk about. Like the whole stroke thing. It was hard for me to talk about that first, but you know what? People need to hear this. They need to know. They need to know what happened with me. They need to know how to be ready for it if it comes their way.
Yeah, and that video has actually picked up quite a bit of steam on YouTube. Yeah. Your YouTube channel is growing. If you guys don't follow him on YouTube, you'll want to follow because there's a video I filmed that you guys, Macro Magician, if you guys like a high-protein peanut butter and jelly sandwich, that video of his is going to go up tomorrow if I get it done off my to-do list. But that video is going up tomorrow. So follow Esco Elite Fitness on YouTube. But your YouTube channel has grown quite a bit.
Yeah, I was stuck. Remember I told you just on Sunday, I was like, damn, my channel's just stuck at 748. It was like 740 for a minute, and then 747 was just stuck. Next day, I think you told me, like, babe, have you seen your channel? It's 8-something.
Yeah.
Then later on that day, it was over 1,000, and now I'm almost up to 2,000 followers. Or 2,000 subscribers. Those are not followers, subscribers.
Yeah, subscribers. I looked at the stroke video. That video has a lot of views. So that's definitely resonated with some people out there for sure.
So I think it's a shock still to a lot of people. Like, how did that happen to you? They look at me physically. Doesn't matter what I look like on the outside. It matters what's going on the inside. That's the most important.
Yeah, but so back to your challenges. So you get in your way, you procrastinate. And you fail to take action sometimes. You have great ideas, great visions. We're going to talk about this actually later in this episode. Yeah, I think for me, unless you don't want to know, you didn't ask, but.
Well, actually, I'll ask you. I'll flip the question. What is it for you then? What's your challenges?
For me, it is. I know what it is. It's weird. It's weird because I start to pick up steam in what I'm doing and I'm doing all the right things. And when I start to get more attention and when I feel like things are growing, I find myself pulling back because I get nervous for the growth.
Yeah.
I get like almost like sick about it.
You're the complete opposite of me because you always say a lot of people have great ideas. People don't take the action and they don't execute. You're the opposite. You take action and you execute. Like this, for instance, the studio, you manifested it. I had zero vision on what the studio was going to look like. You had it all. I couldn't fathom the way it was going to look. It didn't hit me the way it hit you. And before we even had this, you thought about it. You were talking about like, we're going to have this one day. And it came faster than we expected. It just dropped in our laps.
Yeah. And we're going to get into that in a little bit, into manifesting and all of that. But that's where I struggle. Also, I get comfortable. I get really comfortable. And
Me too. I'm guilty of that.
I struggle there, but we all have things to work on. We all have things. I definitely have set goals this year, and it was saying yes more, pushing myself out of my comfort zone, all of those things. And I feel like I'm doing those things, and it's apparent. Like, I feel like it's apparent even to our viewers that things are changing, things are growing, things that all has to do with me changing my mindset.
That's
not by accident. By accident, it's because I changed my mindset and I'm coming from a place of yes, go for it. If you feel uncomfortable, that's a good thing. If you feel like you want to throw up, that's a good thing. Yes. It means press harder on the gas pedal. Don't let your foot off the gas. Because for me before, if I get that uncomfortable feeling, I let my foot off the gas.
Yeah.
And then I fall back a little bit. And so when you take 10 steps forward and take 9 steps back, you're only growing a tiny little bit.
Yeah.
And that's what I was doing. And I was doing that to myself. I was doing it to myself. It was nobody else's fault but my own.
Yeah. And you've also come out of your shell, your bubble. For a long time, you were stuck in your little bubble.
Yeah.
Now you're not there no more. You're doing, like you said, you're doing things that make you nervous. You told me yesterday, if it makes me nervous or uncomfortable, it means I'm doing the right thing. Oh, you sure the hell damn you do. Because think about this. When we first committed to the studio and you're like, I think I can have it done in 30 days or whatever. You put pressure on yourself.
Yeah.
And we work through the holidays, you guys. It's hard to get things through the holidays. People's companies slow down, orders slow down, but we still got it. We're cranking, got it done. We fulfilled our commitment.
Yeah, and I'm working on a new project right now that makes me uncomfortable for sure. It's like, once again, in my life, but every time I have done that in my life, it's always resulted in positive growth for me. But going for something that I'm not qualified for, I shouldn't get, it's not, I like, those are the times, like even when I went to go work for Netflix, they wanted a college degree. Yes. They wanted not only a college degree, they wanted a college degree from specific prestigious schools. It was very uppity. And I applied anyway. I have no college degree, but I got it.
How the hell did you get in? I never really asked you. How the hell did you pull that off? Netflix.
Knocked their socks off in the interview.
Mm-hmm. That's what wowed them. Mm-hmm. Like, wow, she doesn't need it. We want her. They knew. They saw something in you.
Yeah, they had a very specific culture at Netflix, and I fit the culture. And most people were failing interviews because they said they would say answers that they think that most companies would want to hear.
Yep.
And I didn't. I stayed true to myself because just like I did in our relationship, even with jobs, I would be like, they need to show me why I want to work here as much as I want to show them that they need me to hire me.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Because it's a two-way street. It's not just, oh, hire me. What if I don't want to work here? So tell me what the environment is like here. Exactly. Let me tell you what my work style is. I like to work. I don't like parties and I don't take lunch breaks. That's not my style. I'm not into potlucks and canoodling. I like to get my work done and I like to work hard and then I like to go home. I was very specific about how I was. I said, I'm not into that whole...
I know what you mean. You know,
I'm just, that's how I was, you guys. Sorry if it sounds terrible, but I was just like, get it done, work as hard as I can, and then go home. And they liked that. That's what got me the job because they said, we're not a family. We're a sports team. And they told me after, and they're like, if someone comes in here and they say, oh, I love to do a potluck and this and that, they don't get the job.
See ya.
They were like super cutthroat. And so I fit the culture and that's what they were. I think they were having a hard time finding people who fit the culture.
What's funny is you should have been wearing a t-shirt to the gettingshitdone.com because you were getting shit done back then too. Mm-hmm. I'm not here to play. I'm here to work. I'm here to bust ass because Netflix at that time was almost in a league of their own. They were the only, they had Redbox as a little baby competitor, but Netflix, like, we're going to the top. And what people don't understand when you're in that kind of business, when you're playing on that level, most people, when we're down here, we don't know that. When they're playing on that top level, they don't fuck around. They get shit done. They're by all means necessary.
Yeah, and it's cutthroat.
Very cutthroat.
So it was good. It was good. It was good for me.
Yeah. And what's crazy, what's impressive about you getting in with Netflix with no degree, we actually referred a friend with a degree with the fancy schooling. I believe he had a master's. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. And he was offended. They didn't hire him or nothing.
He was pissed. They didn't even get an interview. Did they? Oh, he got one interview.
Yeah, one interview. They called him back for another interview.
Yeah, which is nothing. That means you didn't even get to the hiring manager. You didn't even make it past HR because he probably didn't fit the culture. Because people go in there and they tried to bullshit them and they could see right through that. They were an interesting company for sure. Definitely interesting. But,
yeah, I bet.
But yeah, anyway, so I was uncomfortable then.
Yep.
When I did, I was uncomfortable because I wasn't qualified. So I know that this project I'm working on now, it's probably a good thing because I am uncomfortable again.
But you always rise to the occasion. I have no doubt in you. I've always said that about you. I know sometimes you have doubt in yourself, but like, I don't have no doubt in you. You rise to the occasion. That's one of those things where you need those kind of challenges. It makes you work even better.
You stress me out when you say that. I remember when I was stressed about having to design the studio. I'm like, I'm not a designer. You're like, I have no doubt. I'm like, that stresses me out because I feel like you're holding me to this crazy high standard that I can't meet those standards.
Not at all. I just have no doubt in you. You envisioned all this. Look where we're at. I had zero vision for how this was going to look or pan out. You did. Not even our partner who we collaborated with, Mauricio, had any vision. You didn't know either.
All right, you guys, moving on, because I do want to get into manifestations, but I want to first do a little bit of comment corner. First one comes to us from Stacy Magnin, 5407. I believe this is my client. Thank you, Mike, for admitting there was a little fear getting back to it. For those of us with health anxiety, it was so normalizing to hear someone who seems so strong say that you had a little fear too, but you pushed through. She's referring to when you went back to the gym and how that was a little bit scary.
Yeah, day one was a little scary because I try not to think about what I went through, but I did have a little PTSD because it's my first day back. How can I get through this without having a dizzy spell? Am I going to do a machine and then fall out afterwards? I was questioning myself. So I had to dig deep. I think people look at me with my experience and think, oh, it's easy for him to get back to it. No, I never had a stroke in my entire life. This is all new to me, so I didn't know how my body was going to react. But I'm glad I did it. Pushed through.
Yeah, that was scary for me too. I think I have a little bit of PTSD, if I'm being honest. All right, the next one comes to us from Mako 2278. Thank you. You have both motivated me to adjust my eating habits. I'm a retired trained dancer in my early 40s. Within the past 3 years, I had surgery on both shoulders and biceps. Because I had to adjust my workout to mainly cardio and physio exercises, I have been mostly strict keto the whole time. I did lose 25 pounds and kept it off, but have plateaued this past year. Watching your videos and Janine's vlogs, I started tracking my macros again and adding in some carbs. I definitely had to change my mindset, thinking I'm going to gain weight from eating carbs. It's only been a month, but I do feel good so far. So thank you for all your advice and insight.
Wonderful. Good for you.
Yeah, macros, and I responded to this and I told you, macros are the answer. Trust them. Trust the process. Macros work. I have yet to encounter somebody who follows macros and they just don't work for them.
No.
If you follow them and if you're following the correct macros for you, they absolutely work. You just have to give it some time.
100%. I come from the keto world too. I did keto and I couldn't sustain it. Macros are the best thing for me I've ever done.
The best thing that came out of not doing keto anymore is our love and indulgence of fruit.
Very true. It's crazy how for a long time, like, fruit got demonized.
Yeah.
Like, oh, the sugar in fruit is going to make you fat. No, you guys. What's going to make you fat is overeating. I don't know why people understand. They want to fight things. They want to fight things at work. They want to soul be right, their ego, and whatever you want to call it. But no, fruit is wonderful for you. I eat it. We eat it daily.
Daily. I love fruit. Okay, moving on. Patsy Doron 647. Sorry if I butchered that. Doyeron. How do you work on self-control around sugary foods? Example, overeating on granola or something like that. That's a good question. I think that the biggest way to have self-control around something is that you haven't overly restricted that particular thing. Because the minute we are wired like this, we are hardwired like this as humans, the minute that we cannot have something, we desire it even more. It's supply and demand. It's that whole mentality. If you can't have something, that's what you want. When something is sold out, you want it more. If the shelves are filled with it, you're like, eh.
Isn't that crazy? It's the same thing. Think about this, you guys. When we go back to being kids, maybe you remember, maybe you don't. There could be a toy on the ground. Nobody wants it. All of a sudden, one of the kids wants it. Now the other kid wants to play with it. And the same thing in the shoe game. That's the smartest thing. And not to get off topic.
You're off topic, but I'll get back to it.
Kanye was genius with his Yeezy shoes, like only allowing so many to go out into the market. Everybody wanted it. Price went through the roof.
Yeah. So back to how to have self-control. Don't overly restrict.
Nope.
Because if you go like nothing at all, you might be able to withhold for a while because you don't have the taste of it. But when you finally have a little bit of it, you're going to lose control.
Yes.
So that's one thing. The other thing is just in general, make sure you're not under eating or over restricting to an extreme. Usually what happens and why people can't have, they lose control around something like sugary foods is because they're on some strict, really low calorie diet. So you're so hungry that the power of that ghrelin and then the power of the sugar spike, when you have a little bit of something together, those make it impossible to refrain from having too much of something, especially when it comes to sugar. So if you're already very hungry and then you have something sugary, you're hungry, you got the ghrelin going on, making you hungry. And then on top of that, you have a blood sugar spike. That makes it like you're going against some serious, the current to be able to say no and not eat that. So the goal is that you're not overly restricting, number one. That you don't let yourself get too hungry. And then don't give yourself too much access to things. No bottomless access. So if you struggle with self-control, no bottomless access, meaning don't eat granola out of a bag of granola. Grab the granola, measure out a serving, put the granola back, seal it up, put it back, put it far away, and then eat your granola.
Very good advice.
Same with anything really, anything that's tempting. Okay, anything, like you want to measure it. Don't start eating it until you have it put away, the source put away.
Yeah.
So almond butter, peanut butter, measure it out, put the lid on, put it away, then start eating it. Because if you start eating, take a little taste out of the jar, you're going to go for two tastes out of the jar, three tastes, four tastes. Before you know it, you had a whole serving before you even ate your serving. So that's another thing. I definitely think allowing your treats and things you love in moderation, but not in a bottomless capacity. So for example, I eat the mini. It's just, it's a single serve mini. It's it. I can't overeat it. Even if I wanted to, I take it with me to the bed. I have it in bed as a snack. When it's gone, do I want more? Yeah, but I don't have access to more. It was one little piece. Now, if I brought in a gallon of ice cream, and I thought, okay, 10 bites of ice cream, I'll have 10 bites. You're going to have 30 bites.
Yeah.
Don't give yourself access. Don't bring yourself a bag of chips. Don't bring yourself a bag of caramel corn. Always have to measure out your serving. So limit access. That's another thing. Eating balanced meals, because you specifically in this comment are talking about sugary things. So if you want that little sugary treat, make sure that you've had a balanced meal beforehand so your blood sugar is not going to just go through the roof. Because that's what happens. So your blood sugar spikes, and that's what makes you want more. It never makes you full. A donut will never make you full. Your stomach will feel full, but your brain will still want more. How many times can we eat donuts way past satiety?
Oh, my goodness.
All the time.
It's dangerous for us. What I need to practice, since we're on this topic, is when I am craving donuts, I need to say, you know what? I'm just going to get one, my favorite one, just going to have one. But I'm going to have it after a big breakfast, a heavy protein breakfast. So that way, it's like I'm not having it alone. Does mm-hmm. that make sense?
Yes.
So I get to really enjoy it. I don't feel like I haven't. I'm still craving more because mm-hmm. I'm already full from the big
breakfast.
That's
the way to do it.
That's what I'm going to tell myself. Instead of going crazy on a Saturday and having way too many, I need to do that so I have better self-control.
So that's what works for me. So when I always like to have my cheat meal and a treat. What works the best for me in the cheat days that don't go crazy are the days that I push out my cheat meal as late as possible. And then after the cheat meal, I have the treat. And then that's it. If you start your day with donuts, that day is going to go
Oh, it's
south.
Over with.
That day is going to go.
It's over with. It's dangerous. It's.
We may or may not be speaking from very recent experience.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
The Pastelaria day.
Yes.
That day, I was so sick. I told you guys, but I felt drunk. I was sugar drunk. I literally had a hangover.
Once in a while, it's nice to have those.
Yeah.
But not very often.
No. No.
Don't put those two together. Have that every once in a blue moon, every month or two, maybe. It was crazy cheats. But if you've earned it, though, not just I'm going to treat myself because I feel like. Better earn it, you know?
Yeah, so for this weekend, so it's like we have a plan. It's like I'm going to have a protein bar in the morning, something light, do my Orange Theory. We're going to record the podcast and do all of that stuff here. And then after, we are going to have pizza, which is a little heavier, but we're not going to go too crazy at the pizza.
No.
We're going to have pizza. We're trying a new local spot. We're trying to give some local love to some places. So we'll give you guys a full review on that once we go. And then I'm going to make that dessert again. And if you guys did not catch my vlog, watch my last vlog because I made the absolute most delicious dessert. And so we're going to have that again. But that's perfect because it has protein in it. We're pushing out cheat later in the afternoon. We'll be a little bit full, have that treat, be done, go to bed, and be happy.
That's it. Just like that. Just make it work. Got to make it work. And I like her idea. We're going to push instead of starting early, which we've done, I said come home with a dozen donuts in the morning and we start crushing her in the morning. That's the bad idea. Because I have one, it's hard to stop not having another one.
All right, you guys, moving on. Let's talk about manifesting. And I want to, obviously, manifesting can go so deep and so can get so intricate, but I want to keep it really simple. I actually listened to a podcast from Mel Robbins, but it was like a couple months ago. And she broke it down in a very simple way. And it's a great podcast, by the way, Mel Robbins. I'm going to manifest Mel Robbins energy for Candidly with Coffee because I think we probably have very similar audiences. But it's a very successful podcast, by the way.
Mel Robbins?
Yeah, Mel Robbins.
Mel Robbins.
Anyways, so what is manifesting, first of all? Manifesting is the mental rehearsal to get what you want out of life. It's almost, I'd like to call it programming. The brain is very powerful. And a lot of times most of the time, the things that your brain is doing, you are unaware of. You're not aware of what's happening in the brain.
Yep.
You may as well think of your brain like a computer. And you need to feed the brain what you want the computer to print out of the printer. You need to type it out for the brain or else the brain is going to go based off your thoughts and off of your negativity and all of that stuff. So manifestation is a way to train your brain to get what you want out of life. It's not magic. It's not like poof, fairy godmother type stuff.
No.
You still have to do the work in order to achieve things. But a lot of time, a lot of the work can be done automatically without you even knowing it.
That's true.
Because of the way the brain works.
Autopilot.
So it's a mindset tool that the best athletes, the most successful business people, they all use manifestation to achieve their highest of highs, their biggest successes, their Super Bowls, their World Series, their Hall of Fame status. If you listen to the most successful people, they always have manifestation stories to share.
Always.
They always say, I drew a picture of the Super Bowl trophy when I was 8. I used to stare at it every day. You hear stories like that all the time.
Crazy stories.
The most successful people always have a manifestation story.
It's almost, it doesn't seem real, but it does. Because they've kept that eye on the prize the whole time. And then it led off on it. Like their belief system so strong that they're like, I'm going to get after this by any means necessary. And then when they accomplish it, it's like a surprise, but not a surprise because they've been thinking about it their whole life.
And I know, and I can attest to it because I've experienced it. And maybe I know what prevents me from achieving the big things. And it's something I need to work on, but we're going to get in on that. But I do manifest, but I need to think bigger. My manifestations are too small.
Yeah.
But I manifest all the time, but I just too small. But
comfort zone.
Yeah. So the first thing that you want to do, there's three steps to this process.
I didn't mean to sip in there. Sorry.
There's three steps. The first one is every morning, write down 3 to 5 things that you really want. Get it on your phone, get it on a note, but you write it out every day. Don't be too small. What is it that you really want? That's what you need to be writing down. Pick 3 to 5 things. Don't judge them. They're not dumb. They're not outlandish. You have to write them down with certainty. Oh, yeah. Yep. That's happening. You got to really believe it and really want it. You got to want it so bad, like, it's how I feel about my cheat meals. You got to feel the burn a little bit. That's how you.
That's funny. We do manifest our cheat meals because for a long time, what was I telling you? You weren't on the same wavelength to me, but I got you my wavelength. What was I craving?
Deli sandwich.
Yeah, and you're like, you know what? That does sound good with some chips because it brings us back to our childhood.
Yeah,
and I go, babe, I got the perfect spot in South City. Watch this, it's gonna blow you away.
Yeah. Okay. Can we go back to manifest?
Yes. Manifested our cheat meal.
That's too small.
I know. Just saying.
You have to really believe it. And I will give you an example that I experienced with the podcast that Mauricio did. It's not out yet. It's going to be episode 9, Mauricio Mejia Live. He interviewed Ruben Resendez. He is the founder of AdHere, which is a multi-million dollar marketing, lead generation marketing company. Rags to riches story. He 10 years ago was on food stamps.
I can't wait to see you.
And living in his parents' house. He had to move back to his parents' house with his child. He was on food stamps. And he said that every day, and shout out Ruben, because this was very inspiring to me. I was behind the cameras and very inspired. But he said that every single day he wrote down on a piece of paper, I will live in a high rise overlooking downtown San Jose. And he would write that down every day for 3 years. He wrote that down every single day. And then he just worked really hard, obviously. He started his company in his old bedroom when he moved back in with his parents' house. And when he started to have some success in his business, but he wasn't there yet, he couldn't afford it yet, he would even take it a step further and he would go tour the downtown high-rises. And at one point, he even got a real estate agent to show him one of the high-rises. And he's like, I couldn't afford it. I faked the funk so that I could see it and just really feel it. And guess what? He absolutely ended up living at a downtown high rise and then the penthouse. And now he's in the country club. He manifested that shit. Three years he wrote that. He was broke as a joke on food stamps. And he wrote every single day, I will live in a downtown high rise overlooking all of San Jose. It's crazy.
That's a dope ass story. Yeah. I love those kind of underdog stories. Those are the best. Those are the most inspiring right there.
Yeah. And I believe it because I know that stuff is true. Did he write the piece of paper and then go back to bed and twiddle his thumbs? No. He wrote it on the piece of paper. He felt it. He believed it. And then he worked really freaking hard for
it. That's
what
it is. He worked hard for it. Look, there's pictures of Jeff Bezos sleeping in his bookstore early on. He looked like a, you know, like a dorky, regular old dude in a bookstore. And look where he's at now. One of the richest on planet Earth.
It's crazy. So beyond that, so then you're writing it down, which I'm going to do this. I don't currently do this. I try to just think of things, but no, I need to do this. I need to write it down. Don't skip the steps. We're all going to do this together, and we're going to come back and regroup in 6 months, a year, and we're going to talk about what are these things that we manifested.
So
and we're going to remember this episode.
Tell them to write it in the comments, then, you guys. Write it in the comments, what you guys want to manifest.
Yeah, that's a good
idea. Put it in the comments. We want to hear.
Yeah, and if you are embarrassed to write it in the comments, you're already failing. You're failing because you don't be embarrassed. That's part of it. Do not be embarrassed of the things that you want to manifest. You have to speak it with certainty, speak it with confidence, and that it's not silly and it's not too big and it's not dumb or materialistic. None of those things exist here.
No, not at all. And you know what? One of the things I hear about us, couple goals. A lot of people comment us and say couple goals, meaning they want, you can have that. You got to vision it though. You got to manifest it or it'll happen though. But again, everything takes work in life.
Yeah, I think that too many people spend too much time trying to decide what they don't want instead of what they do want.
Bingo.
Because if you focus on what you don't want, you're going to attract what you don't want because you are going to attract what you focus on.
Bingo.
That's the key.
Yes.
You attract what you focus on. If you focus on the fact that you're tired, you're sick, you're going to feel tired and sick. If you focus on the fact that you are happy, you're going to feel happy. You attract what you focus on. So that's the problem when it comes to that. People, I don't want this, I don't want that. And then that's what they end up attracting in terms of couple goals.
And listen, another thing you hear about is people always want dream body goals. I want a dream body. I want my dream body. You know what? You can have that. But you got to work for it. It's not just going to happen. The universe ain't just going to bless you. Here's your dream body. You got to work for it. It takes work to get to the other side.
The next step is actually visualization. So all of those things that you just wrote down, you need to visualize yourself not only with those things and having those things, you need to visualize yourself doing the work to get those things. You need to visualize who is that person? Who is that person that lives in the high rise? They are not sitting around in their boxer shorts playing video games. That person is working hard. That person is on their computer, staying up late, like doing everything, never saying, oh no, I need a day off. They're willing to work for it. And you have to visualize. So whatever it may be, maybe it's you and it's the dream body. You have to visualize yourself in the gym every day.
Yes.
Okay, I am a person that's going to get up. I'm going to go to the gym. Visualize yourself getting excited to go to a farmer's market to pick vegetables and fruit. Yep. Get excited about the type of person that is that person that you are saying, you know, that you want to manifest. That a super fit person with a hot body, what do? They work out, they eat well, they take care of themselves, they sleep. So you have to visualize yourself doing all of the things required to get that. It's not just about visualize yourself being that. You have to visualize yourself doing the work it takes to get that because you cannot skip this. This is not magic. You still have to do the work.
You got to take the steps. What do we say? Number one rule for that, master the basics.
You have to think about the blood, sweat, and tears and see yourself. Picture yourself busting your ass in whatever capacity and enjoying the process of busting your ass.
Exactly. You got to enjoy the journey. I like that. Joe Rogan said that once. He goes, man, you got to embrace the grind and live. And it's hard when everything feels like it's failing and you're not going to get nowhere. You're just stuck in the mud. You got to embrace that. You got to embrace that because eventually the hard work will pay off and you'll break out of that. Everybody tells the same story where they're stuck in the mud for a little bit and they break out of that because they keep on the path and journey. Don't get off the beaten path. Stay straight ahead.
Yep. The last thing is feel it. I feel like this is the most powerful part. You have to believe so much in those things that you wrote down that you then visualized yourself working for. You have to believe so much that you are going to get it that you can feel it, that you feel the joy of having it already.
Yes.
That you feel rich, you feel fit, you feel healthy, you feel whatever it is that you were trying to manifest. you have to feel it. Like, even I know I have done this in the past. Like, I remember when I visualized my car, I thought myself sitting in it and holding the steering wheel. Like, I really felt that it would be mine. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, you have to believe it, because most people, where they struggle with manifesting and beyond manifesting, even throw out the word manifesting and just trying to reach any goals, they don't believe in themselves. It's self-doubt and the negative self-talk. That's what it is. They don't believe in themselves. Yes. That's what it all boils down to.
Yep. You always hear, I can't do it. It's too hard. Blah, blah, blah. That's the first thing. You got to get rid of that out of your vocabulary. The I can't lose weight. It's too hard. I can't eat good because I like so many bad foods. No, get that word out of your vocabulary. You can achieve anything in life, but you got to get rid of that word. It has to get out of your vocabulary.
Yeah. And I think that the whole point of the visualization step in this, where you picture yourself doing the work, it helps you build more confidence that you're capable of doing the work. So yes. If you can picture yourself in the gym, like picture yourself, all right, I'm walking in the gym, got a cute outfit on, I'm walking in there with confidence. Yep. And you picture it, you picture yourself doing that, then you're going to start to, you're going to feel like, okay, yeah, I can do that because I can see it. It's really hard for us to do things that we can't see ourselves doing.
100%.
Do you know what I mean by that?
Yes, I know what you mean by that.
If it's totally out of your wheelhouse, you can't picture it, it's really going to be hard to execute on that. That's like even this new project I'm working on. I'm thinking a lot about it. I'm visualizing it. I'm seeing it. I'm seeing myself do it. I'm even dreaming about it. Because I'm getting in, it's almost like an actor getting ready to play a role.
Yes.
That's how I want you guys to think about this manifestation, because it's like you're acting at first, because this is new to you. So if you're manifesting whatever it may be and you're seeing yourself do the work to get there and then do it, it's like you're an actor preparing for a role that you're about to get.
Yeah, that's true. Before you get that role, you got to play the role. You're like, all right, I'm getting ready for this. I'm becoming Luke Skywalker, basically. Uh-huh. Like, all right, here we go. Visualizing it. I'm getting my inner Bruce Lee. Like, flow. Be like, he says, be like water. I love that.
Yeah. And I used to do this kind of thing. I didn't even realize it was called manifestation back then. Whenever I wanted to get excited about something, I would say I was going to go on vacation. And I'll give you an example. Lisa and I, we were planning a trip to Cancun. And we wanted to lose some weight and get cute in our bikinis. We would watch movies of cute girls in bikinis that were going on vacation to get excited for it. It was almost like the power of visualization. Like, we would get excited as if that was us with our cute little bodies and our cute bikinis.
Yeah.
And it would motivate us to go and do the work so that when we went to Cancun, we would feel like the girls did in this movie.
Yes.
It's a very similar thing we were doing. We did not know we were doing that back then.
That's funny you say that, because a lot of times when I was single living that life, and I'm like, all right, I'm going to Vegas. I got 4 months. I'm going to a pool party. I'd visualize it like, I don't want to sound like too much of a dirtbag. I was picking up on chicks, going there with my fit body. So I would be putting in extra hard work in my training. I'd be on my calories, watching what I ate. And
yeah.
Getting all ready for this trip, giving it my best, visualizing it.
Yeah, I used to do the same thing. Crazy. I used to I want to have that confident feeling when I'm putting on my outfit. I want to feel confident in it. And so I would think, what's that feel like? Putting on my bathing suit and walking out to the pool and feeling confident. What does that feel like? And those are the things that would motivate me to go put the work in the gym and stuff like that. It's very similar to manifestation, but I've manifested so many things in my life that it's crazy.
I got a kind of cool story. So I wasn't even old enough to even get a gym membership. My mother had to sign the waiver for me. I was 17. I made her sign me up. Powerhouse Gym, Daly City. That's where I remember
because I don't know the story.
Let me tell you a story about Powerhouse Gym. Mm-hmm. 17 years old. I'd already been working out for a couple of years, but I was like, I need to go to the next level. I need a gym. Got my mother to sign me up at this gym, Powerhouse. And I looked around the gym and I see big dudes, bodybuilders. This is the 90s, the golden era of bodybuilding. I had a vision in my head that I wanted to be a bodybuilder. I wasn't very strong. I wasn't benching much, but I gave myself a goal. I said, you know what? By the time I'm around 18 years old or so, I want to be in the 315 club. That was a big deal, meaning benching 315.
Yeah.
So I busted my ass on my 17 years. Met my close friend, good friend Mauricio, met others, and we got a little, call it a workout car. Mm-hmm. Like your group of friends you train, we'll push each other. Lo and behold, like a year or so later, man, I achieved that goal. I know it doesn't mean nothing to a lot of people, but I was able to put 315, and I couldn't believe it. I had to do it twice, oh my God, did I just bench 315? That's very respectable in a gym. I can't even come close to that no more. But back then as a young, so I just wanted to be respected amongst the bodybuilder community, amongst these guys. And eventually the dudes who are like pros or semi-pros on the way compete, we get invited to work out with them. They say, damn, these dudes are putting in work. They're crushing it. I'm throwing weights around and me and more just getting bigger and bigger. That's some pictures of me when I'm younger, real thick. But it was just something that I had vision in my head, that I had a certain physique in mind and how strong I wanted to be. And it came to fruition. But I put in the work, a lot of hard work, a lot of hours, probably overdoing it. I was probably doing 2-3 hours a day in the gym every day.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
You were extreme back then too.
I wanted to hit that goal.
But that's so good. Like you would stop at nothing. You know, Mauricio has that quote. This is a Mauricio Mejia quote. Nothing or no one will stop me from reaching my goals. That's what he said. He says, nothing or no one can stop me. That's relentless. You have to be relentless in your pursuit of success.
You do.
You really do.
You do. You got to be a little crazy, a little extreme sometimes, but it is what it is. And I probably was extreme because I'm an extreme dude, but I wanted to hit that goal. It was a big deal for me. I also wanted to be part of the 18-inch arm club. My arms being 18 inches. That's another respectable. Because you got big arms. Yeah. It's respectable.
Yeah.
Whether it be your peers in the streets.
Listen.
I don't want to be average. And I'm going to say another thing. I want to stand out to women. I want to make sure, damn, look at this dude. He's fit and it works. Yeah. Women love guys with nice, fit, rock bodies, muscles, or whatever they take. Case may be.
And that's why whatever you guys, I don't want anyone to feel like their goals are silly or whatever. They're important to you. They're important to you. And that's what matters. And I really do think that I feel like I manifested my whole second life. I dreamed when I was in an unhappy marriage, I feel like I've done this many times in my life where I didn't even know the steps or what exactly to do. And it worked. So I think that where I fail and what's been pointed out to me recently is that I dream too small because big dreams make me nervous. I don't have self-doubt. I'm confident at the mediocre dreams. I have confidence. I pursue them. I reach my goals a lot of times.
Yes.
It's like false confidence because I purposely don't make my dreams too big. And I think it's probably because I'm afraid of failure. Because I like to succeed. So if I don't make my dreams too big, then I won't fail.
That's true.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So I need to work on that. It's something I need to work on. And it is what has held me back thus far in my life. But I also feel like I'm 48, but I still have a lot of life to live.
Oh, we got a lot of life. You're 48, but you're young. Look at the way you look. You're not 48 and over the hill ready. You put one foot in the grave, one foot out, like majority of Americans are right now. Not even close.
Oh, that's why I work hard to be youthful and live life as long as I can. I don't want to just live as long as I can. I want to be like youthful and mobile and all of those things as long as I can so that I have time for all these manifestations. So this is a quote from Mel Robbins. When you visualize and manifest correctly, you eliminate what holds you back the most, your fears and self-doubt. When you see and feel yourself doing the work, you remove the self-doubt, the nerves, anxiety, and fear that stops you from taking the steps to get what you want. That is why it is so important to visualize yourself doing the work, not just visualize yourself achieving the goal, because that'll give you the confidence needed to actually do the work, because manifestations are not magical.
No.
But if you program your brain and tell it exactly what you want, you will start doing the things you need to do to get what you want, but your brain will also help you along because it knows where you're going.
Yeah.
You're not conflicting. Because if you're telling your brain, I want to have a perfect body, but you eat donuts every day and you don't work out and you don't go to the gym and all of that, your brain's, there's conflict there. It's not meshing.
Nope. It's all one unit, brain and body almost work in conjunction with each other.
So are you willing to think of things, specific things, at least 3 to 5 things that you want to manifest? And there's no time frame or anything. It's just a matter of those are the things you want to, those are the top 5 things you want to focus on. Are you willing to do that? I'm going to do that.
I'm going to give it my best.
Are you going to pick 5 things that you want to achieve?
Yes. I'll pick 5 things.
And you're going to follow the steps.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. It's homework. I think why not? I feel, like I said before, I think we shared that story, but we went to friends of ours, Mind Pump, huge podcast. They're friends of ours.
Yes.
And we were invited to their studio back in September. I think it was September or early October. And we saw their studio. It's not far from here. And they're so successful and they're doing so many great things. And I thought, man, that's what I want for us and our podcast. Like, I want a studio just like this. I want, you know, because at the time we were at home and all of that. And when we walked out that day, I was all buzzing. And I said, babe, let's manifest it. Let's manifest it. We need a studio. We need a gym. We need all these things. We need to be like this and we need to grow our podcast. We really need to devote ourselves to it. So we set that manifestation. We talked about it quite a bit. I visualized it. I don't know if you did, but I visualized like what that would look like, what we would do, what are our options. I thought maybe we'd go in with someone or rent it out. Remember? That's how I was thinking about how can we make it happen. And then fast forward, we ended up having I had a chance meeting with your client and the manifestation came true.
Yeah.
But it was because I truly believe the reason I was able to move forward with something that was super scary, that I was still nervous about and didn't know whether I could pull it off, was because I already had started manifesting and visualized myself doing it already. So by the time the opportunity presented itself, it wasn't super foreign to me. I'm like, okay, this is what I've been thinking about. So yeah, let's go forward. If we hadn't gone to that trip that day, I don't think we'd be here right now. If we hadn't gone to Mind Pump Studios, I don't think I would have had the vision to know that when we met and had that conversation with Mauricio to take the execution step. I don't know if I would have had the nerve to do it. But because I had already visualized this process, I had the confidence to do it. So it's a direct reflection of these things. Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense. Again, you left that day super like giddy. Wow, we can do this. Let's manifest this. Let's think about this. Let's think about a studio with a gym. I just happen to have a client.
But that was a couple of months. It was over a month later that we met with Mauricio. There was no correlation between the two situations.
Yeah, probably like closer to 2 months later.
Yeah, because I think we went to Mind Pump in September. 2 months later, because I didn't meet with Mauricio till December.
Yeah, and you were like, and I kept saying, my client wants to meet you. He wants to meet you. He's interested. And he goes, and you were like, what's your client want to meet me for?
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't understand at that time. I don't know, maybe there could be some kind of opportunity to. I always think of this, networking, collaborate, network. Don't let the door swing open and you not walk through it, you guys. Because there's a lot of times where opportunity presents itself and no one sees it and they let it fly over their head. You didn't let it fly over your head.
Or self-doubt consumes you and you don't run with the ball. Someone passes it to you and you don't go run for the touchdown. You get nervous and you drop it.
Yes, you freeze.
But like I said, I truly believe that had I not gone through the steps, unbeknownst to me, of these manifestation steps of deciding that's what I wanted and then visualizing myself getting it, that when I had and feeling it, all those things I went through, because I did all those things, when the opportunity presented itself, I said, oh my God, here it is. This is my opportunity to make my visions a reality.
Yeah. When the opportunity came knocking, the door opened, you walked right through it.
Yeah. And
you didn't hesitate.
I even told you, this is my ball to fumble.
Yes, it is. You said that.
If I don't move, take it and run with it, then it's all on me.
And there's a lot of things since we started this, since we got this studio up and running, a lot of opportunities have been coming your way. Oh, tons of them.
Ton. The growth of the podcast and our ability to start the Patreon show and that success and all of the people that are joining over there. It's been amazing. It's like a domino effect.
Yeah, and you're producing for my client, Mauricio, here on his shows. And his show's growing. His YouTube channel's growing.
Huge, yeah.
And the opportunity to meet the guests that come on here. These guys are big wigs.
I know. I know, and I know we've talked about it a lot on previous episodes, but it just goes so well with this. And it's because I want to hammer home the power of manifestation. And if we could do it, you can do it. And I can get better. We all can improve upon things. And I do need to work on having bigger dreams, and I'm going to implement this too. So I want everybody to do their homework. Make sure you comment. Let us know if you're willing to share what some of your manifestations are, or even just one, if you can share one. I know a lot of times people like to keep it private, but that's it for today's show, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. And if you are one of our off-topic Patreon members, we will see you over there on the after show.